This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at spring training in Surprise, hoping to talk to John Gray in perhaps about 20 minutes. But right now, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Really appreciate that. I did yesterday. I heard a song, and I need to send it over to Alec. I think it's going to be our the bed music for this segment.
Please tell me it's not going to be that stupid "I Want to Be in the NBA" song that Mike played.
Oh my god!
What? I forgot to tell Alec that. Alec, if you look up Shane Foster, but it's just spelled S-H-A-N and then Foster. I remember when the Mavericks drafted him because Vanderbilt was playing A&M.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, we took a dude from Vanderbilt, and he created a song that said, "I can't wait to play in the NBA," and he never did, so he's still waiting. And then I found it on YouTube.
It's a terrible
song. If Alec finds it, we will play it in the last few minutes of the segment. Because, Kevin, I know it drove you nuts last night.
Oh, my God.
And most of the people at dinner at Jared's house last night were also driven nuts by this song. However, I put this song in the same category as the Harambe song that you always
play. Oh, my God, I love that song.
It's like a reggae version of Missing Harambe, and I'm just like, oh, my, it's, I want, if I could poke my own eyeballs out, I would do it.
Just that wouldn't solve the problem.
Yeah, well, no, actually it wouldn't. I'd need to poke my ear bowls out. Earballs? Anyway, I wanted to bring that up for just a second. If we get that song, be happy to play it. Mike, I heard something this morning that brought about a question, and that was while we were in the clubhouse hanging out this morning, old Mike Maddux walks by, and
oh,
when
yes.
he sees you, he says, "Michael," and you say, "Hey, how's it going, Mike?" You called him Mike. He called you Michael.
Okay.
And I believe you did say that he will be around longer than you, Mike Maddux, that is.
Yeah.
Is that still the case? Because Corey Seager has taken over the Coreys around here, so I get it.
Yeah.
But he is the Mike around here, correct?
Yeah. He's way, like, he was here before me, right? Because he came, I don't know what year he got here. He wasn't Ron Washington's first pitching coach.
Right.
But then he came in, I'm not trying to take a shot at John Daniels or anything. I believe that was a Nolan Ryan hire.
Okay.
I believe Nolan and Mike Maddux had a relationship, and he was able to get Mike to come over to Texas as the pitching coach. And then he stayed here for a while, left, went multiple other places, St. Louis, Washington, I believe. And now he's back. He'll probably outlast me. You guys have heard me. I'm going to tick off somebody, and it's going to be bad.
But you know what?
Man, we should set that over-under tomorrow.
Yeah.
Do you want to do Mike betting odds tomorrow?
When will Mike die on air? Not real death, but just, you know, obviously.
Career,
That would be a fun thing. Let's do it. Tomorrow we'll set up the pool, and we'll see how it goes.
Mike betting odds.
I'm betting on at least. I'm giving him 3 years. I'm going to give him 3 years on that.
Okay.
Mike Maddux. Really, really cool dude, and always a pleasure to see whenever you get a chance to talk with him. If you're a Tolo out there and you get a chance to see him, really cool dude. But Mike, whenever it was Mike McCarthy, you were like, no, he's not Mike, he's Mike McCarthy.
Yeah. Obviously, Mickey could have gave two craps that I said that multiple times to him because he just kept calling him Mike all the time. And then he would make me pay attention to what he was saying because I thought he said my name. And then I was like, what, is he talking to me? And
he would make
then
me
I realized
attention.
He was talking about Mike McCarthy.
You weren't just already paying attention to Mickey? You know what? Don't answer that. Okay.
For sure.
Don't, please don't
do know how to answer that.
All of his sentences I heard in my ears.
The thing I wanted to discuss yesterday that we did not get to because our friend Marcus Simeon popped on, who heard a great story about Kevin's life yesterday. was the what?
He'll say never ever forget.
What sport have you had to learn for a loved one? And the reason I ask this is Carter, who started playing football. I know football. I get football. I love football. I was excited. But in the off season, they usually tell football players you're either going to be in track or you're going to be in wrestling. It's one of those two options. And so my seventh grader, Carter, he is doing shot put now. And
oh, cool.
I never touched the shot put in high school. I was always kind of concerned about, because I was in baseball, I was concerned about it messing up my throwing arm. So I just never touched shot put. But now that Carter's involved, I want to be able to, I'm not going to try and coach him, but I want to know what's good and what's bad. And I want to be able to watch it. And if there's some tips that the coach wants me to work on with him, I want to be able to do it. So I am now learning shot put, and I feel like I'm gonna have to go back and find out who the greatest shot putters of all time are. Like my dad, whenever
I have no idea.
When my dad was in high school, he was a big
Sean Marion kind of shot the basketball like a
he
shot
did
put.
Shoot it like a shot put. My dad was a big high jumper, and so there was a guy named Dwight Stones that was one of the best high jumpers back then, and my dad kind of emulated that. And Mike, you've always said this whenever it comes to baseball players and kids. Find your favorite player. Watch them. Try to do what they're doing. Not necessarily all the things that they're doing, but try to emulate what they're doing, why they're doing it. Why are they swinging at this pitch at this time? Try to get their batting stance down. You know, try to do those things. That's what we did as kids. We wanted to see what those guys were doing and try and be like them. So I want to find out a little more about shot put. So 877-881-1053. What's the sport you had to learn, the new sport you had to learn because of a loved one?
So it's...
I feel like for Mike, it's wrestling because he loves you.
Yeah.
Man.
Baseball. My dad made me love it.
Here's what I think. Just kidding. I think you're going to miss me so much by Saturday. You're going to be like, let's watch the Elimination Chamber.
I am probably,
actually, by WrestleMania, I'm curious how that's
going to
go.
I'm probably going to text you. I don't know if Saturday night. I'll have my nephews over. I've already, got them pumped up.
Just let me know when you start watching it, and I'll...
6 p.m., right? That's when.
Well, I didn't know if you were going to watch it live or delayed.
I think so. I'm going to watch it live.
I feel like y'all could discuss this part off.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Shoot,
Corey, my answer to your... That's fair. My answer to your question is little girls' gymnastics.
Oh, really?
Because our little nieces... Like, I think I understand gymnastics, but look, they're not running up to the vault and, like, doing the crazy things. And so I've had to learn more about, like, what are we shooting for in what we're doing? Because otherwise I'm like, she's adorable. Give her a freaking 10. And they're like, that's not even how the scoring system works. And I'm like, oh, okay. So probably that.
Mm-hmm. Yesterday somebody texted in because I had asked this as a tease, and then Simeon showed up. So yesterday somebody had texted in that they love football, and his fiance loved football too. So she tried out for the Dallas Diamonds.
Oh,
so
okay.
She can learn more about football.
That is neat.
She ended up making the team.
Oh,
and then
wow.
So like he was like, so now I'm invested in what the Dallas Diamonds are doing, but she just wanted to try out just so she could learn why I like the sport so much. I thought that was a really cool approach on her part.
The other one for the job, Corey, I don't know if this came up for you. I had to really educate myself about amateur wrestling because the first couple meets I like could talk to all the people, get the general idea, but there was a couple of intricacies.
Like Greco-Roman?
Yeah.
That
I was like, ooh, I did not understand why that was a point and that was not. So yeah, that was something I had to learn more for work as opposed to loved ones, but I wanted to throw that one in there.
I guess I'm selfish because I've never tried to learn something for
hold
somebody.
Hold on, you watched
sports.
Your daughter run cross country. Did you ever have any...
Run faster than everybody. Start off faster than them, run faster than them in the middle, and finish first.
Mm-hmm.
Great advice.
I don't get what. Yeah, this is very simple.
Hey, Alec, is there any other strategy to cross country running than that?
I mean, seriously, it's just like trying to pick off people one by one because usually, especially in the boys' version of it, there's so many people running. So it's just one person at a time. If you can try to catch one person at a time, you're going for points. So the better you place, the more points you're going to get. So just start picking off people one by one if you are in the middle of the pack.
Did you ever run to the Queen song when you were doing it? That's what my wife told my daughter to do.
Man, I wish we could listen to music when we ran. That would have been amazing.
Yeah, you can't have earbuds.
Dun, dun. Another one bites the dust.
Oh, yeah, for pace. Yeah, that actually makes a little bit of sense.
And then when you pass them, you cuss at them.
What? Why do you cuss
definitely
at
did
them?
That, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
There's a little bit of talking in cross country. Not a lot from the girls, but maybe the guys. I think they, when they pass somebody,
you're like going kind of slow.
Yeah.
No, people will shoulder check. Like, they'll actually do stuff like that.
Really?
So you got to bark at them when they try to do that, especially if you have, like, a narrow path that you got to cross through. They start shoulder checking people. And it's like, dude, this is a non-contact sport.
I love in the Olympics when they do the very long on the track and they're running, and you got that one guy that wants to get out of the pile or out of the pack, and he's like, I got to get to the outside, and everybody's like, no, we know you're really good. We're keeping you locked in this pack, and then he finds his way at some point.
Go ahead.
From the 214, I had to learn tennis for my daughter, so that everybody's kind of like, that's a good one right there.
That's true. I learned some, but not for a loved one, just because I wanted to be better at it.
Girlfriend ran hurdles, so I learned a little bit about track there.
Run through them as fast as you can.
That is a good.
I never thought, like, if you have somebody who's really powerful, just be like, I'm just running through these MFers. Then there's no penalty for not jumping over it. You just got to somehow keep your stride going.
From the 682 ballet, my fiance did ballet in college, so we went to a lot of shows, and those are really true athletes. Man, if you've ever seen a ballet dancer's legs and butt, like a male, and I'm talking about a male here.
Like Herschel.
Yeah, they are strong, built, dude. And they're jumping high, and it's insane.
We do have the song.
I'm a great shot put. I grab a shot and put it in my belly. That's a really good approach to that. From the 817, I had to learn shuffleboard. I learned tennis watching Agassi. I hate to admit, became a Lakers fan because of her second wife.
Oh, no.
And they're really excited about the Luka trade. And they said, need to look up Ryan Krauser for the shot put. So I'll make sure I'll go check that out and see if that's the correct thing there. And then, Michael Carter, best shot putter ever, played for the 49ers. So thank you very much to the Tolos out there that have sent that in. Mike.
You think if they're like a defensive lineman, they try to imagine that the offensive lineman's a shot put, and they're like, raw.
Sometimes that's why they get them under the face mask and hit them like that.
That makes sense.
I bring to the table, Corey.
All right, Mike.
So they're playing Vanderbilt, Texas A&M.
Did he find this stupid song?
I don't know.
He found it.
He did?
It was in 2008, the Mavericks took a player from Vanderbilt in the second round. And this was on the NBA draft, like on ESPN. I'm not sure if I was watching on NBA TV yet or if they even had it. But I remember this, and it has always stuck with me when I see Vanderbilt. I say Shane Foster. It's spelled like Shan. Maybe it is Shan Foster. But this is the song he created at Vanderbilt for the draft.
I can't wait to play in the NBA.
Oh my gosh, so bad.
I can't wait to play in the NBA.
Hit it,
Shane. All right, we're going to have to pick up more of this later because coming up next, we will talk with John Gray here on 105.3 The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, we bring up into the booth, it is John Gray. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. Now, I know we have pressing chocolate milk questions to get to, but I think the first most important question is, what happened with your curveball last year? Why did we just not use it?
I tried to. That was the plan, to use it. And every game I got into, the first three or four I would throw would just be in the dirt or just not really close to the zone. And that's kind of the whole key with my curveball.
Yeah.
I'm not really going to punch anybody out with it a lot, but it's supposed to slow them down and just be used as a strike. So it's kind of like, I don't know, it's just my error if it's just not using it as a strike. Because if we kept throwing it, we'd have kept throwing it, you know, more and more and more. But hitters didn't really respect it.
Yeah. Do you anticipate more usage, or did that kind of tell you the direction you wanted to go last season?
Yeah, I need to use it more. I just had to get better at throwing it in the zone. That's it, really. That's all I'm trying to do is throw it for strikes right now.
So you came up here, mm-hmm. You have a nice chocolate milk.
I do.
And you said you drink it every day.
Every day.
Is it a certain time you drink chocolate milk, or just you're going to have chocolate milk at some point during the day?
After a workout or at nighttime. Yeah. Like it's every day. And I give chocolate milk the credit for just surviving all the comebackers that have hit me.
Okay.
Because, I mean, they're coming in like 109, 112. I mean, but no broken bones.
So. Is there a food you have to have every day?
No.
Is there a favorite food?
I love breakfast. I love waffles and pancakes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We had that discussion. Waffle. Is there one that you like slightly over the other?
Not really.
Waffles have the built-in syrup pockets.
Waffles are awesome. Waffles are fancy and awesome and everything, but I making homemade pancakes myself with peanut butter is like the best thing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Peanut butter in the batter or peanut butter on top?
Just peanut butter on top.
Okay.
Now, since you mentioned your love of chocolate milk, this is what I've thought numerous times. Have you ever driven like an Oak Farms truck on the highway and then just thought, that thing is filled with chocolate milk?
If I have, just... yeah.
Okay. So, follow-up question. I'm really glad that you said yes. Follow-up question. Do you think about it, it's just a whole bunch of bottles, or is there ever a tiny part of your brain that thinks it's like a swimming pool just filled with chocolate milk and you could just drop in there and start drinking it?
100% the latter, yes.
Me too.
Like, sometimes when I see cows, I think of the same thing.
Yes!
You can just walk up and...
Is that cow? Yeah, you know, like, I don't know. It just makes me really thirsty for chocolate milk. And I don't know. I feel like it's like Wonka. It's like a Wonka thing.
There's your headline. You know I mean? John Gray is thirsty. That's the headline we're going to put it.
Kevin, I'm going to ask you first, and then, John, you follow up. If there's one liquid you could swim in besides water, is it chocolate milk?
100%. Yeah.
It's chocolate milk.
Wow.
Yeah.
Corey?
I've always thought it would be like hand sanitizer so I could be clean, like the whole
body.
But
it might get
like
in your mouth.
Yeah, you're right. I guess, but I've never thought about swimming in another Jello, like, but then I'm stuck.
That's not liquid, though.
See, and this is why John gets me, because you could tell immediately he's like, I have had that thought. And 100%. I was like, not a lot of people have, so thank you for, you know, vindicating me on that. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
He said when he sees a cow, he's like, I'm, you know what? Now I want some milk. That's the. And do you ever like, I'm going to go grab an udder and just try like right out of the.
Always wanted to know, but I don't even know where to start.
Yeah. Well, Pilar has some llamas, so I don't know if he has any cattle on there that we could find out about, but we can definitely talk to Pilar.
Yeah, we got to get something done.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
We got a whole co-op situation happening there.
So we heard in the off season that you picked up shooting a bow and arrow.
Uh-huh.
Is that true? And then how good are you at it now?
It's very true. As soon as I had my foot surgery, there wasn't much I could do. So I was just wanting to get back in archery, because something I did as a kid. But, yeah, I mean, I absolutely loved it. I got really into it this offseason. Bought, like, 10 different bows. But all traditional. No pulleys, none of that. Just all traditional bows. Horse bows, long bows. And
I saw, like, Bo Jackson do this on, like, his 30 for 30. And he has, like, fake deer set up plus targets. Do you have different targets?
I do, yeah. I even started making my own targets. And, yeah, I got really into it. It's really fun.
Is it ever a hitter that you really dislike in Major League Baseball and you're like, in your face, Mike Trout?
Ooh, that's a good idea, but no, I haven't gotten that. Okay. I haven't slipped down that path yet.
And you said you did this as a kid. Was this like from the scouts, or how did you get into it to begin with?
I remember like when I was 7 or 8 years old, I just really wanted a bow and arrow. And yeah, I got one year. I tried to make my own arrows and everything. I even have a scar from it. But
awesome.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was great. Some of it kind of falls into that nerd category. I love old school stuff, like medieval stuff, you know. Yeah. Lord of the Rings, all that stuff is my favorite. So really, 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 I think that's a big player in it for sure.
Okay.
When I was 10, 11 years old, my cousin and her husband got into it, and they became like one and two in the world. And I got to go follow them and watch them. She was a model for Oregon bows for a while too. And
that's
so
cool.
Like that, they gave her all these bows and arrows to work with, and they had a shop in New Mexico that they had, and it was a blast. Like it was so much fun that they sent me home and my sister with a bow and arrow, just something little to work with.
Yeah.
And so we'd go set up our pizza boxes in the back and draw little targets and everything. Yeah. And it was the day that my sister decided to walk in front of the pizza box shooting. And my dad was standing, and he saw the arrow go right past her head and hit the box, and he was like, we're going to have to take a break on that one, guys. So just be careful while you're out there is all I'm saying.
Safety first.
Yeah, safety first.
I don't know why I got so scared. I know your sister.
She's
I know
alive.
She's alive. But for half a second, I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, what happened, Corey?
Now, you mentioned maybe you love other medieval things.
I do.
Do you or do you not own a mace?
I don't have a mace. I do have some other things.
You have chainmail?
Please.
I don't have chainmail.
Okay.
No, I haven't gotten into the armor side of things, but I do have some really, really cool swords.
Yes.
A really cool like spear thing. I don't even know what you call it, but it's really cool. I love it.
Have you spent an irrational amount of money on some of these items?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah. I even like my wife even got me this cool prop from The Hobbit, and it's like Gandalf's staff. So I have that at home.
What?
It's cool. It lights up and everything. It's awesome. I love that stuff.
And how often do you say you shall not pass?
I did it like 10 times the first day I had it.
Yeah. I'm with you on
that. I think my wife was sick of it. Yeah.
Now, the Lord of the Rings movies are great, but can we all agree that at the most that Hobbit thing should have been two movies and maybe we could have condensed it down to one movie?
Yes. And you know what really makes me mad about The Hobbit is just the overuse of CGI.
Yeah.
I think the Orcai and the orcs from the original trilogy were so much better. So much better.
And then they had that hour-long dinner party scene, and they started washing dishes and dancing around. Yeah. And I'm like, this is too long.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't need three movies for this.
Right, yeah. It was a little strange.
So you seem like a candidate for this. Obviously, like, I saw Paul Skeens. He throws the football. Nolan Ryan used to do that. But now recently, Yamamoto has come up with a javelin thrown program to help him pitch. Have you ever looked into what is Yamamoto doing with the javelin to help his pitching?
No, but it sounds really fun.
That sounds like something that you would be like, this could be fun in the off season to learn how to throw the javelin, yet it would also help my pitching too.
Yeah, that's all I'm looking for.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought the bow would help too, you know, just build up some back muscles and stuff. So
has that been the case?
I feel stronger.
Okay.
I feel stronger. I'm waiting for it to translate into velo. So
yeah,
we'll see. It's still early, but
that'll be the day when we come out to spring training and there's 40 guys not playing catch with each other. They're just throwing the javelin.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, hey, I think it's cool. I mean, if it works too.
Absolutely. Speaking of guys throwing catch, how intense is Jock Peterson during that? Because man, he's just kind of.
Yeah,
soft tossing it out there.
Mike was watching him stretch.
Yeah, not to call him out or anything, but it seems like he's like, I mean, I'll be there for the drills, but maybe not max effort.
Yeah, and there's some guys like that too, like kind of just a little bit more loose right there.
Yeah.
So, but that's his way of getting ready, though. But I mean, when he sets between the lines, it's go time. So, I kind of have a little bit of that myself. Like, I don't get so amped up as other starting pitchers before games and do a bunch of stuff. I kind of like to chill out beforehand and like let things progress. So
that's interesting because Mike, when we watched Jack, was it last year in his first start, Jack Leiter's first starts, he looked amped up. Like he looked like he was all over the place. And we felt from our side that maybe by inning two, he was kind of lost a lot of energy from that. Do you feel like that's kind of maybe a little meditation kind of helps reserve a little bit of that as you're going along?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. Just keeping your breath, you know, I think that's big, but, yeah, I think mentally you should be mentally prepared, but at the same time, I mean, I had to learn that the hard way, and it was because I kind of went in one game and was like, I didn't really prepare at all, and I noticed that it was a really good game. I was like, why do I have to do all these 100 different things beforehand whenever I can just go have a good game like this and just be, you know? So it was something that kind of transformed over time for me. I wasn't always that way, but you know, I think he'll find some of that too. He'll find out what works out for him, and he'll kick the other stuff to the side and be right where he needs to be.
You look so calm. Like, when you leave the mound, I'm just like, man, he just looks like he's extremely calm. And I wonder if you are that calm on the mound, too, or if in your head you're going through other things, too. I'm just kind of curious. You look very calm on the mound.
Yeah, I mean, I really try to be, you know, and sometimes you have to kind of almost feel like you're in slow motion because you want to go so fast out there. You'll be going way faster than normal, especially early. But just really trying to slow the game down. It feels really strange at first. You'll feel like you're going in slow motion, but it's, you know, it's getting everything in place to work out well, getting your body in all the right spots.
How good are you at letting go of some of the mistakes that you make out there? Because that's the biggest thing. I don't care who the hell you are. You're going to make mistakes. Are you able to push past them easily, or do they kind of stick with you? Because I'll just say for me, mistakes stick with me.
Yeah. I think mental mistakes stick with me really more. I know I'm going to miss spots. I know people are going to hit, you know, doubles, homers, whatever. But when I throw a pitch that I shouldn't have thrown, or when I just don't have conviction or something, that's something that kind of like really nags and kind of like it's just really in the back of your head. It kind of takes a while to go away.
How tough is that to overcome when, like, hey, the next batter keeps coming up, or the base runner keeps moving?
Short memory.
You know? Yeah, and that's the fight. Like, that's the best place to be as a starting pitcher is to have that short memory and be able to go to the next page, because the only thing you control is right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, it doesn't do any good to dwell in the past or think about who's coming up. Just focus on right now. Like, that person that's coming up next doesn't even exist right now. So it's just taking care of everything in front of you and keeping the same body language. Like, I want to be more robotical out there in my body language.
And I know this maybe not even is a question, but what's tough is what works for John Gray might not work for me. What works for Jack Leiter might not work for Kamar Rocker. And that's always the tough part is, as a veteran, maybe talking to the younger guys, is you're trying to give them advice, but yet they have to be themselves too. And so your intensity on the mound might be different than his intensity, and whatever I don't know when it works or when you find that. It's different for everybody when they find what works for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's like that's what I think makes this starting pitcher kind of like stay at the major league level is like figuring out what works for you, being able to go back to it, and just noticing the things that usually that get you off track. With me, it's kind of more mechanical stuff, so there's some things I really got to go back to, and I'll realize that in a moment. But yeah, you find those a couple of key things that really work for you, and they're always there, and you can go to those key things, and you'll never feel like you're out of place. Like, you'll always feel like you can get back in the zone, even if things go wrong.
You've had Jonah for a while now, but you had Higgy. You've had different catchers. Kind of the second catcher to Jonah has kind of been different from your time with the Texas Rangers. Mm-hmm. When do you feel comfortable with a new catcher?
I've always felt really comfortable. I mean, it could be the someone's first day catching me because I feel like I play really simple. I feel like I'm mainly fastball slider. We'll flip a curveball in. So I'm not really like I don't know if they're thinking about pitches. At least I'm thinking about executing. So I let the catcher kind of run with the plan. And unless something feels really, really right to me, I'll shake. But I like to run with the plan, and I feel like they figure me out right away. I'm not that hard to figure out. So,
do you like the automatic appeal that we've been trying out here at Surprise?
Yeah, I think it's kind of cool. I really do. Hopefully it doesn't. I don't know what it's going to lead to, though. It could lead into a whole other thing. But for right now, I think it's cool.
It sounds like he has robot theories here. So maybe we dive into those at some point in the season, because we've always been afraid of the robots taking over.
Should have a healthy respect of that.
Well,
I agree.
Turn on the sprinklers. They're going to electrocute. But that being said, the you were here for the World Series. You saw that season, how that vibe was. Then last year, it seemed like there was a lot of frustration from injury, whatever, not being what they wanted to be throughout the clubhouse. They're just like, man, I just can't figure this thing out. What do you feel the vibe is different this spring so far with this group?
It feels like guys are definitely more hungry. I feel like, it's after what happened last year, like that kind of a season can really give you a lot of fuel. And I feel like we've used that in a really good way. People have like really taken care of their offseason really well, done really good, coming to camp really strong. Yeah, I think we're really built up for a good season this year.
Yeah. I don't know how much you can speak to this. It might just be a theory some of us have had. Were there any conversations that took place with you in the offseason with the team about maybe being a closer?
No.
Okay.
No, and
I apologize. I have pushed that idea. So my
Because we look at your velocity and we look at the slider and we're like, man, that for one inning is almost it's dominant. So that we have talked about that.
Yeah, and of course, like down the road, there may become a time for that. So it's good. It's good that I've been able to have a few outings in the past, and that could be good for the future. But no, there's been no talks about it. It's been get ready to start. You're a starter and. If that time ever comes, it will be in a good spot. So, it's exciting.
I like hearing that from him. We're going to be okay. If it ever comes, we're going to be okay.
And it felt like he forgave us for maybe asking the question. asking the question. How much do you like we always hear about young players is like, hey, did you go talk to the veterans? Do you ever seek out the young players and you're like, hey, I saw this or I saw that? Or do you prefer if they're like, hey, they should come to us if they have questions?
I'm a little more shy, I guess. Like, okay. I'm not the most talkative person, but I try to make myself available. I wish I was a little better social, but I'm not. But there, I try to start off with something off the field. I talk to people about stuff off the field, funny movies, whatever, and then that kind of like makes us comfortable with each other, and then we're able to talk about other things too. So I try to keep it simple. Like, I don't want to get anybody's head. It's their career. I want to tell them exactly what I want to give them my opinion too. So,
if tomorrow was your last day ever on the radio, what would you do?
Tomorrow's his last day ever on the radio.
What would I do? Oh man,
what would be a fun segment that you'd want to do? I know you've kind of never done radio except for like interviews, but what would be like, I would love to pull this off.
Has AI gone too far?
You have the leeway.
I don't know, man.
We can make that segment happen if you want tomorrow. Yeah.
That's not a bad idea, but sky's limit. You can do whatever, right?
Yeah, that's my plan. That's plan.
I think he meant to say within FCC regulations, we would still like to
Mike's
stick
like, who knows?
With
change.
But it's over.
If possible. Okay, but we still have to keep working here. Thanks. Thanks a lot, Mike. Uh-huh. Yeah. You didn't really totally help that situation out, John.
Well, John, after tomorrow, he's all yours because he's got TV responsibilities with the Rangers this year. So he's excited about that. We're happy for him.
Man, thank you very much for jumping on with us. We really appreciate it. Coming up next, let's chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Right here on 105 Through the Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. Wanted to give you a couple of updates. We talked about how much we all like the Four Nations in their two different broadcasting slots since the Four Nations. NHL ratings have gone up 15% and 21% respectively. And Travis Kelce confirmed what, you know, we talked about, I think, earlier in the week, maybe last week, that he is indeed coming on back, and the NFL has settled in at $279.2 million for the salary cap for the upcoming year.
How much more is that?
24 point something, maybe.
Okay, all right.
I don't remember if it's 255 what, but it's about 24 million.
It's a player, you know, most of a quarterback's contract.
Absolutely. Right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing, it is time for our chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Terrific, Hagee. How are you?
I am doing very, very well. Now, Broadus, I wanted to ask you, I haven't had a chance to get you in on the crosstalk so far this week. I know you like the trip here, but are you having some combine FOMO as well?
Oh, I always do. 20-some-odd years of my life, I was, you know, doing stuff with the combine. I was talking with Rich Rice about it, and he was kind of like, where do you rank it? And I'm like, listen, man, hey, I really do enjoy going in Indianapolis. It's something that's always been a part of me. This is a whole new experience. I mean, spring training baseball is actually really cool from a fan's aspect. That you can, if you're like a golfer, you could like watch a baseball game and then maybe go out and get some, you know, get a couple of rounds or get a round in.
Yeah.
Maybe in the morning. I mean, but the way the schedule plays out and the way they play every day and how close everything is, man, this is a lot of fun. And the Rangers have done a tremendous job of getting us really good guests and then allowing Eric and Zach to be in the locker room with that shenanigans. That has been so much fun to listen to every day.
Do you enjoy the game itself in terms of the spring training game, which might not have the most meaning behind it for some of the players, or do you like the warm-ups and stuff? They're really entertaining.
No, I like the game because I like to try and figure out who the players are, and it was real easy when Walcott went out there and played shortstop. You know, you kind of like, oh, that's the guy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's the guy that Bassett talks about all the time. So, yeah, to be able to kind of put your eyes on body types and see how they play a little bit, I think it's really cool.
From a scouting perspective, and I'm curious, the same question can go for all of you guys. How satisfying is it when you see that first big player, that first big game from that person that you've been hyping up? You know, like maybe you hyped them up since they were in the minor leagues or in college or whatever. How satisfying is it when that person hits it and you're like, I told you?
I think it's amazing, you know, nothing like being in on a player before, you know, like we were observing Wolcott the other day. Looks like his defense is big league ready already.
Yeah.
So he's got an exciting future. But, yeah, you know, I think that's part of the fun of being out here is getting a chance to watch the next generation.
Mike Cameron just walked into the dugout, and that was my first ever batter I faced in the majors.
Really?
Is he an instructor with them, or is he coaching, Mike?
I think just an instructor because Dan Wilson's their manager. So I think a lot of kind of, let's say, the 90s, early 2000s Mariners, they want to bring in and help.
Well, you know, I saw Sammy Sosa in the dugout the other day for the Cubs.
Yeah.
And it's the first time in 20-some-odd years that he'd been in the dugout.
I think he had a uniform
last
on.
Year,
too,
like, yeah, welcome uniform. Back.
Yeah.
Now, a couple of more confirmations. Greg Popovich will indeed miss the rest of the season. I know we thought that was probably going to be the case. And then Travis Hunter throughout, it's super important for him to be the top pick in the draft. Like, I understand that sentiment. What do you guys think about the prospects of that actually happening?
Well, yeah, I think to me when, you know, these quarterbacks, depending on where you like them and where, you know, Cam Ward over Shedeur Sanders, you know, now you have the news about Carter and the foot. And, I was trying to get to the bottom of that this morning.
He says he'll be at pro day.
Yeah. So, you know, is it one of these things, you know, what's the difference between, the fractures that they're talking about? I'm just trying to get a little bit of clarity. You know, I was on with Jeff Cavanaugh this morning doing our podcast, and we were talking about, you know, Tank Lawrence had similar foot problems. You know, that always – it wasn't like major injuries that – like his knee or shoulder. I mean, he had ailments and stuff, but it was always his feet that caused him the problems. And so do you wonder if this is something that he is – you know, has he been living with this and then he now goes to the combine? Because when I was in scouting, you used to get all the medical information when you went through these teams. Now you don't. HIPAA laws. You just can't. You're not going to get this. So a lot of these players, or maybe something's happened to them, they're like, wait a minute, I've been playing 3 years with this? You know, and so you're kind of in that, these players, I think, are a little bit surprised about some of the news. But these doctors and trainers at the combine, it's no joke. That's really the most important thing about the combine.
With Travis Hunter, I'd be letting him do as much as he wants until it's proven that he can't do it. You know,
okay,
find out what his limit is.
So you wouldn't build up. You'd start like, hey, go up.
Yeah, you know, maybe it's full-time corner with a dozen plays on offense to start with, and if he's great at that, then I'm looking for two dozen. But, you know, I think he's young and he's dynamic, and all four of the teams that he could end up on need help on both sides of the ball.
Okay,
it's like you're getting two players in one, really.
And that's a great point, because I was going to say, you probably won't find too many NFL teams out there that don't need help at either one of those positions.
You know
positions.
What? Listen, let's be real, you know, upfront about this. Him going number one helps his brand.
Yep.
That's the most important thing. It's like when these Hall of Famers now get to sign their names and they get to put Hall of Famer under it.
Yeah.
You know, so going first overall is good for his brand.
Yeah, no, I could definitely see that. All right, Corey, what are my keys to the game today?
Keys to the game today, let Malley go out there and eat. You know, just let him dominate the way that he needs to prove that he belongs higher up than five in this rotation. Throw some strikes, fill it up in the strike zone. Let's see some home runs from all the fellas. There's a lot of wind blowing in today. So if you hit a home run today, that's going to mean that you did something special. You got one. You got a hold of that one. I don't expect a lot of home runs out of this park today with that wind.
Yeah, Mother Nature is pushing the gravity sideways today.
That's right. The gravity is getting moved a different direction.
Have either one of you guys heard this nonsense from Corey and Mike that the gravity is lesser here? So long home runs are less important than if you hit them in Florida.
Well, yeah, I know when I play golf here.
Thank you.
Yep. It's a 175 yard shot, and I pull out the 175 yard club, and it goes like 195.
Sail it, yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of like, yeah, I agree with the gravity theory. Yeah, here. I like the gravity theory.
Less gravity, the ball goes further here.
You got to pay attention to it.
The other person who agreed with it was Wyatt Langford, who went to Florida, and he goes, "Hey, we don't make the rules. We just know them." And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. What do you guys got coming up on the program today?
Gravity, air density. Who am I to define one over the other?
Exactly, exactly.
We got Pure Gold as always, Hagee. Thanks for asking. Chris Young's going to join us in the fifth inning.
Ooh, all right.
Cy Young Show is back.
Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with us tomorrow.
Oh, my gosh.
Tomorrow will be Mike Bassick's very final show ever with 105.3 The
God.
Fan. And we're gonna have Broadus cut a 2-minute promo on Mike Bassick.
Hallelujah!
But it's gonna be
there is a baseball guy.
I think it's gonna be a special show, and I hope you guys tune in 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Say goodnight, Kevin.
Goodnight, Kevin.
Say Merry Christmas.
No,
don't do that.